This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to Wetzel Kings Manor, the podcast that follows the fantastic Chelsea FC women's team. Now, this midweek, Chelsea had a Conti Cup quarter-final, obviously entering the competition as they play in the Champions League, missing the group stage. Drawn against Championship side Sunderland, who made it through to the quarter-finals thanks to Aston Villa, using an illegible player in their win against them, meaning that they... Did they get 3 points? They must have got 3 points. And Man United were knocked out of the Conti Cup. Despite them getting a tougher group than in the Champions League, potentially, Man United couldn't make it out, which was a shame. It meant Chelsea faced Sunderland. Emma Hayes using the opportunity to rotate her squad, and Chelsea avoiding any potential upsets, running out comfortable 5-0 winners. Attention then turns to Crystal Palace this Sunday in the FA Cup. And so the title of tonight's episode, number 120, is Cup Fever. And it's not just me, your host, Dean. I am joined, now sit down for this one, not one, but two of my co-hosts who have been missing for some while, although they do have, as excuses go, one of the very top ones you could use for missing the shows, which we'll get into in a little bit. But I will say hello to Jane Chappell. Jane? Hello, welcome back.
Hello, it's nice to be back. I can't actually remember the last time I was back, but I think the last time I was back, we all three of us ended up doing it together, if I remember rightly. But it is nice to be back finally.
Yeah, I know me and Dane did a few without you because of work. Then you obviously both went off. But yeah, it's been a while, but luckily we've got some new friends. Been busy making friends, so we've been doing some shows, and also, of course, the show wouldn't be complete without Mr. Dane Whittle. Dane, good to see you, mate.
Yeah, you have made some new friends, haven't you? You've I thought me and Jane was your only friends in the world, although you're related to Jane, and
that doesn't count.
That group of ours is been expanding quite rapidly. So yeah, I don't think you've actually missed us, but you've had some good guests on there. It was been very good. I've listened to a few shows, and everyone like the fan cast, which was the same sort of road you wanted to go down with guests and people with their own personalities and all that. Yeah, it's starting to build, and it is. We'll be lucky to get on, Jane, me and you anymore now, I think.
Well, some like cast members are untouchable. Yourself and Jane are those two. Whenever you're available, you're straight in the team, which is no disrespect to the rest of the Wetzel Kings Manor squad, but that's the way we roll. Obviously, the idea was to have us three and someone with us every week to talk about the matches. Tonight, just us three. And before we get into everything. Dana, if you want to sort of break down why you've been away, because we sort of haven't sort of published this information anywhere.
Yeah, in November, my youngest son got run over. He was in quite a bad way. Fractured skull, fractured eye sockets, bleeding on the brain, broken nose. So it was a bit of obviously a worrying time. Comatosed for quite a few days. And I don't know if people know, and hopefully Jane doesn't mind me saying, but Jane is in a relationship with said son. They've been for quite a while, so it's not as if it's new news to us or me or Dean or anyone who knows them. So she was obviously living exactly the same ordeal. You know, she came straight down when it happened, and it was just a tough time, I think, for everyone, especially when doctors and nurses, being doctors and nurses, they don't flare it up for you. They literally give it to you straight, and it was a worrying time, and so they sort of said how it could be. Luckily, like most of his life, he is very quick at recovery. He's always been one who's never moaned, sort of always got on with it. You know, he's been through a few things in his short life, broken his arm and instances that just make you think, out of all of them, if it had to happen to one, then you don't want to wish it on him, but he was the one who would have sort of got on with it and recovered. So the good news is he is completely, probably already on mended, if that's correct. You know, the hospital hardly don't really want to see him anymore. All the fractures have practically cleared. The bleeding in the brain has gone. He's back to work and he's back to enjoying his life. He's back to spending more time with Jane. So yeah, they don't like to say things like miracle, but you know, the way they were talking to us was, yeah, it was literally that.
Yeah, obviously, at the time, very difficult. I know we say the show's a family. It literally almost is. If Jane gets married, it makes it official. You know, but it was a tough time for everybody, more so for Dane and Jane than obviously myself. But Jane, it makes you quickly realise that, you know, things like this are not very important, and you know, your health and wellbeing are. You know, but obviously even been back to the football already at King's Meadow. And as Dane said, a bit of a miracle. And I was going to say, if anything, is a bit more annoying now, which is probably why the doctors have discharged him. But as Dane said, back to his usual self, which, you know, we love to see.
I don't know, Jane might be a little bit questionable about it.
Yeah, it's nice that he's back to normal. Like Dean said, I think he is more annoying as before. I think his excuse is that he had 4 days of no annoyingness, so he's got to make up for it. But no, it's nice to sort of him be back to normal. He's back to work. We've gone back to football together as well. And it was nice to know we could sort of push the podcast to one side and not have to worry about it too much, because Dean had some other people to help step in and cover for us whilst we was away.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you both back, and obviously even back to his usual self as well. And just thank you to everyone that reached out when we tweeted out in November, you know, that we weren't doing the shows for the week, to make sure everything was okay. It's much appreciated. I know Dane and Jane both would, you know, want me to pass your thanks on as well. So, yeah. On the show tonight, then, we're going to look at that 5-0 win over Sunderland in part one. And in part two, we're going to look ahead to Crystal Palace in the FA Cup this Sunday. And remember, you can listen to this show live on Mixlr whenever we do decide to go live. So head to mixlr.com and search for When Smoking's Below. You can join in the show by posting it on the live chat page, as David already has this evening. Good evening, David. So, you know, get your comments in and we'll try and include them in the show. And remember, if you are listening to Went to Smoking's Meadow on the Went to Smoking's Meadow platform, so not on the Chelsea Fancast, please do leave us a nice 5-star review, as it helps other people find the show, especially as women's football is growing in its own entity now as well. So yeah, we're going to get into all the action straight after this.
Chelsea! 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 Chelsea!
Now, Chelsea lining up for the visit of Sunderland in a 4-2-3-1 formation with Saturi Mrsic in goal. The back four of Xhaka Niskan, Khadija Buchanan, Mara Miolda and Yves Perisse. Sophie Ingle captain the side alongside Julian Čankovic in midfield. Then Aggie Beaver-Jones, Frank Kirby and Micah Hermano on her debut supporting Mia Fischel in attack. Emma Hayes didn't use any subs. And I don't know if that's because the support official wasn't there or she just didn't want to. But she didn't make any subs. And that left Hannah Hampton, Jess Carter, Lauren James, Guru Wright and Ashley Lawrence. Johanna Ritten, Cameron, Neve Charles, Erin Cuthbert and Myra Ramirez as unused subs. Stats-wise, Chelsea with 78% possession. 22 shots, 10 on target, 4 corners and 11 fouls. To Sunderland's 22% possession, 8 shots, 3 on target, 2 corners and 3 fouls. Jane, for me, you know, not making any subs seems as though Emma has decided pretty much on an A and a B team. Is that a feeling you're getting as well?
Yeah, I think it shows obviously we have a big enough squad to do that in a game and for them to play 90 minutes and not be sort of concerned that, oh my God, we've got another game Sunday, who are we going to play? I think a few of the players that we had play on Wednesday will maybe come on as a sub. But it's nice to know that Emma can rotate the squad and not be too concerned about what's going on and who we've got playing. And it's not a massive concern for us at the minute.
No, Dane, I mean, usually, you know, Emma does like to rotate the squad when she can. This year seems to be less so. I think she's more settled on her back four, more settled on that midfield duo, you know, and the attack is sort of picking itself at the minute, injuries aside. You know, those players that started this game, you know, how difficult is it for them to break into that A side, as we're going to see it?
I think with Emma, she does give you a chance and it's up to you to really perform to stay in. It's funny that she seems to be adapting her strict stance in her final season. You know, you did a tweet a few weeks ago regarding the goalkeeper. You made like quite a sarcastic comment because Hannah was playing, and then we'll see Mrsic next week. Then it wasn't that wording, but it was based on that, on her inconsistencies with the goalies and something we'll never understand what her thought process is behind. But you know, if I pick out one example, Mia Fischel, as someone who was a big money signing, and if you're classing her as sort of like being in the B team, she had a lot of chances in midweek. And she didn't score. So then you're not going to get a chance for the first team, are you? It's as simple as that. Lauren is playing brilliantly well. I think Kirby's in and out. She would be one that could easily start again on Sunday. But you really have to perform. And as I said, she has given players chances in the past, and you have to perform at high level to stay in there.
Yeah, I mean, Jane, probably the one position that sort of is up for grabs is, you know, who starts up front with Sam Kerr's injury. You know, Ramirez is a new signing, new to, you know, England. Mia Fischel obviously having the advantage of speaking English. But as Dane said, not on the score sheet. I know she got an assist, but you want your striker scoring goals, and Ramirez has looked pretty good. Was it concerning that she didn't get on the score sheet for you?
Well, yes, because I had a play predictor this week and she didn't score. We're quite competitive with play predictor at the minute, and it seems to be whoever I put to score doesn't score. So every time I seem to put Mia, she doesn't score. So I've given up putting her in hope she's going to score now. But I think because we've got a big enough squad to rotate up front, it is concerning when a striker isn't scoring, but I feel like it's not necessary. We've got enough other players to score the goals for us. Obviously, Nuskin scored first this week, which I was sort of shocked to see because I didn't expect her to score first with the strikers that we had starting.
Yeah, and Nuskin playing at right back, Dane. And I know, you know, full disclosure, that Jane was working late and Dane was working and then was watching Chelsea Men. So I've only sort of catched the highlights of the game. But playing at, you know, at right back, sort of out of position, turns up with two goals. She just seems one of those players, and I compare her to Jessie Fleming in terms of when she plays as a number 10, but when she plays elsewhere, she's reminded me of, you know, a Marcos Alonso that just seems to produce something for Chelsea when they need it.
Yeah, well, she started the season really on fire, didn't we? And I thought she was going to be that sort of goal-scoring midfielder that maybe we didn't have, you know, the old cliche Lampard sort of player. Not that we were crying out for one, because we had goals coming from all over the field, plus the strikers would always put in their fair share. And she went a bit dry in recent weeks, but it shows her adaptability. You know, again, Emma has seen that she can do a job at right back. Maybe it was because it was against a lesser opponent, with no disrespect. And I don't know if that would have been the case if we were playing a bigger and better team. But you made an example of Jessie Fleming, who we did see play a few times on the right side as well, when needed to do a job. So again, it just goes to show. I just want to go back to Mia Fischel. Again, in the back of all of our minds is the fact that it's Emma Hayes' last season. And it's instances like this, because she does usually ease players in over a season before. And then it's like, right, this is your second season now. So let's see. About 80% of her signings are really eased in that first season. So I suppose that was the worry of then what comes after that. I suppose it's just still so much ifs and buts, because it is Emma Hayes' last season. But going back to Nusken, yeah, she's a really good age. She's got a good engine. And I've been impressed with her to come in her first season. So it contradicts what I said about being eased in, because she was in straight away and in and out recently. But she's a very good player, and can show that she can do a job in a few positions now.
Yeah, and sort of having her there, she was able to sort of, you probably wouldn't have seen from the highlights, but she was able to tuck into midfield, a bit like what they sort of do with Trent Alexander-Arnold at Liverpool, where he sort of plays.
They did it with Chilwell and James under Tuchel, didn't they?
They played midfield.
Yeah.
She was there quite a lot, and obviously two headers. She is quite a threat in the air. Jane, I know Chelsea obviously don't tend to lose many matches, but when you play against lower league opposition, there's always that, you know, potential banana skin. But I felt that they really dealt with the game professionally. You know, going back to the stats, you know, 78 possession, they didn't really give Sunderland the ball too much. And then for me, the big one that stands out is the fouls, you know, 11-3, you know, really stopping Sunderland's game whenever they got the opportunity to. And that for me is always the sign of a team that is in control of the match, when they can make that many fouls and really stop the opposition going. And, you know, to be fair to Sunderland, they have more shots on target than Everton did against us the weekend before. But yeah, sort of Chelsea 2-0 at half time, 3-0 just after, really managed the game really well, which was great to see.
I think when we got drawn Sunderland, I sort of questioned it, because I was like, they're sort of top of their league, I think, or they're near the top. So it was sort of a case of sort of how well are they playing, and how well will they play against a big team like us? But I wasn't too concerned about it. I thought we had a good chance at having a good game and a good run out of it. And I did put 5-0 as a score prediction. So I feel like I done well this week.
You did get some points then.
I did get some points. I am bottom. It is a slow build up. I've been bottom pretty much every week, but I am only 8 points behind second to bottom, so I am getting there.
Yeah, we'll get there. I would say
I've got a long way to go till the top. I'm about 40 points behind top, but I've got high expectations.
Yeah, your play predictor the league, I think, is more important to you lot than the actual match.
I know when I got home from work on Wednesday, I saw it was 4-0. I was like, right, I need one more goal, because then I'll get more points for getting 5-0 right. And then we did get another goal. So I was like, yeah, perfect. The game can end now.
Yeah, well, Sunday someone had 4-0 and someone had 3-0. So one of them was cheering when we didn't score. someone was disappointed that they weren't 4-0. I don't know what your prize is at the end. It must be something amazing.
It's like 80 quid.
Well, I was going to say it pays for a season ticket, but don't even do that anymore, does it? probably won't next year either. And then, you know, talking of banana skins, you need your sort of experienced players to sort of guide you through. And Frank Kirby was that player for us, I think, against London, two goals late on, but really led the team from the front. And, you know, one of those players you're thinking, is it coming towards the end? And then she puts in a great performance, and then you're questioning, do I know anything about football at all?
Yeah, you do wonder again, sorry for mentioning Emma Hayes again, if she is talking to the club and insisting that they tie her down to at least another year or two, or she's already made plans. Maybe she wants a change of scenery, maybe move abroad. You know, sometimes when you get a little bit older as a footballer, you know, moving abroad in the European heat and all that, and different humidity can help your body, make you give you that second wind and make your career last longer. It's hard to second judge, you know. But she's a fantastic player. She's been a fantastic servant for us, for club and for country. Still got it, still very capable, still buzzes around, still causes trouble, can still score a goal as a leader. And again, I remember sort of having, I'm not comparing them, but I just remember having the sort of same conversations with Bethany England, when you sort of like, we was putting two and two together and trying to come up with four, then maybe coming up with five and six, and thinking if, you know, she seemed like sometimes like the spare part, and we expected so much, wished so much more for her. But with Fran, it will be a sad day, because it seems like we've gone through all so much together, and it will be like someone, again, a bit over dramatic, but when someone who's as much loved as she is might leave, it will feel like a, you know, like a Pippin family to an extent, or and it, if it's the same way, maybe she wants to go with Emma, I don't know, we'll go out together. But to answer your question, yeah, you know, I believe she's still got it. I believe she can still command a place in the 11, and I'd look to tie her down for another year or two.
Yeah, Jane, I suppose it's how Fran feels in herself and in her body. I don't think she's one of these players now at the age she is that thinks she's got to play every week. And I know she's just done her house. She's having her house renovated now through Instagram, and she's sharing that. So either that's to sell or to enjoy. You don't know these days. But yeah, you know, what we're seeing with her now is how great she is in the air. And Sam Kerr really has transferred that power to her. Cross the ball in the box and Fran will score a header. Something new from Fran.
Yeah, I feel like shortest player on the pitch, but she just seems to be in the box at the right time and seems to be able to jump really high. I'm hoping, I don't know if her season contract ends next season. Can't actually remember, but I'm hoping
I thought it was this year. Oh, it's not this year. I thought it was. Oh, sorry. I got that.
It might be this year.
That is this year.
I don't know.
Oh, is it?
This year. Well, I'm hoping that she does sign an extension and we've got her for one more year. I feel like we've not really had Fran back properly. I know it was a year ago, I want to say yesterday, that she got injured at the West Ham away game. So she's only sort of, she's not had that much time to sort of come back fully. I think we've still got a Fran Kirby comeback season in there somewhere. And I'm just hoping it's sooner rather than later, because I don't think we've got many years left of Fran playing, unfortunately.
Who is out of contract, Dean? Do you know who's?
I can tell you in 2 minutes.
I know AKB's out of contract. Mielder's out of contract. Kirby's out of contract. I'm trying to think who's in the team.
You've got Aslu, but she's on loan anyway. Berger's got a year to. She's got an option for an extra year. Sam Kerr, Frank Kirby, Maren Mielder, and Emily Orman and Rihanna Blades.
Yeah, so
obviously a few of them are out on loan anyway.
And I suppose they have to announce or decide on their new manager before Emma leaves to sort these contracts out with those players. And our good friend Harry Edwards with the stats on Twitter last night, 115 goals for Fran Kirby, 8 have been headers. 4 of those headers scored since the 27th of January this year versus Brighton, Paris FC, and 2 against Sunderland, which is nice. If you follow Harry at Harry Edwards 16 on Twitter, he's an unofficial Chelsea women's stat man, and we use him on the show, and we always shout him out for his stats, unlike some other people who just nick them. And I suppose, Jane, the highlight of the match for me was the goal just after half-time from one Aggie Beaver-Jones, who got another full 90 minutes, is continuing her rapid progression as a footballer. The supporters absolutely love her, always calling for her to be brought on. A great goal and another great game from her.
I think she is a real fan's favourite at the minute. I'm really hoping come sort of next week, week after, her name will be in the England squad that's released at the end of the month, because I think she does deserve a place in that England squad and she'll bring a lot to the team. But it just shows how much she sort of developed over the last sort of year to where she is now, and she does deserve a place in that starting 11 all the time.
Yeah, Dave, I suppose it's, you know, Chelsea have been able to buy, you know, the best players, and we haven't really had, you know, anyone come through our academy and really make it. You have, you know, people like Emily Murphy who, you know, showed glimpses but then have moved on. Aggie seems to be the first one to really get that chance and take it with both hands or both feet, should I say. And it is producing consistently for us, and that, I think that's why, you know, there's so much love for her from the fan base.
Yeah, plus she's a local girl, isn't she? Carl Shorten, I believe. And she's obviously had to have impressed on loan, impressed in training for Emma to have given her a chance, whether it be 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 15 minutes here. But what she's done with those 10, 5 or 15 minutes here is she's produced the goods. And as a forward player, you can't produce any more goods than scoring goals. And we all see that run she went on. So she really pushed her name forward. She might not have got as much exposure this season, but if you're performing when you come on, then that gives the manager headaches. She's moulded into a traditional women's Chelsea forward where she can play in number of positions across the front three, or it'd be left, right, or through the middle, like so many we've got at a club and so many we've had over the years. So, yeah, very impressive. I said 20, such a good age. She's the biggest team in Britain. Biggest teams in one of the biggest teams in Europe, and yeah, like Jane said, you know, it would be a great addition to have for the England squad, just because how adaptable she is across the, you know, the front three, front four, central, left, right, and what did she do again? She scored two goals. It just goes to show. She just scored two, didn't she? Was it two or one?
Just one.
Oh, just the one. But she's still. Then she got on the score sheet. And carried on her impressive, so goals to minutes ratio this season must be very impressive.
Yeah, I think she's up near the top of that list for sure. I just love how positive she is. She always wants to go forward.
Yeah, and, yeah. And I hate fast, strong, can yeah. finish.
When she want to come back inside all the time, you know, I just want to watch you take players on, and she just wants to do that.
She has all the attributes to have an outstanding career. And to make the opposition think, because as you just pointed out, left, right, cuts in, cuts out, can score, header, you know, fast, strong. It's a handful. And she, as I said, she's 20. So, wow, you know, the potential and the ceiling is very high.
Yeah, I suppose we didn't really touch on Maika Hermano, who got her full debut for Chelsea. For me, Jane, sort of a decent-ish performance, but showed why perhaps she's played a few academy games rather than a few Chelsea games, because I think it's a bit raw still.
I know when she come on for against the Bristol game, I was impressed sort of the way she was playing. And what I've heard from mum that was watching the game and my dad that was watching it, they both said, I know the first thing dad said to me when I got in was, she's really good, I've really liked how she's played. So as far as what I've heard, she had a sort of a good performance and it looks like she's sort of fitting in well with the team. But I think she sort of needed, like you said, them academy games just to sort of get her confidence up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think she scored a really good goal against Tottenham, I think. And I think she played when we beat Arsenal in the cup as well, because I think she's only 20, isn't she, as well?
I think so.
Yeah, young. obviously to move country, completely different languages, is a lot, then, isn't it? I think that's one thing we don't really take into account. You know, even someone like Ramirez has just joined, that leap coming to a brand new country, new culture, and trying to settle is extremely difficult, which is why Emma likes to take her time and, you know, a good first full debut. And I think we'll talk about her in part two as well against Crystal Palace, maybe getting another appearance there. But unlucky probably not to score.
Yeah, she looked bright. You know, she cut in a few times. Finishing obviously let her down. But you're right, you know, changing country, and it's obviously a hell of a lot different. It's not just, you know, crossing the channel or something, or anywhere in Europe. It's a whole new culture. It's probably beneficial to her that it's London, very multicultural, so you can immerse yourself within traditions that obviously you know. Hopefully, I can only hope she's come over with, sometimes, you know, families will come with you, won't they, to sort of protect you, unless you're outstandingly mature. Well, obviously, very stereotypically female, so she's a lot more mature than a 20-year-old male would be. But yeah, it's not easy. And, you know, as we've seen with Emma Hayes, she's outstandingly good at easing players in, looking after them, and getting onto the club to look after them. There's, I keep on going back to it, but yeah, there's going to be some shoes that might not be filled ever again. So it's good that Emma is still here while she's easing herself in.
Yeah, I think she lives with her family, because I've seen her get dropped off by just a white lady.
So her family. Yeah, you, that's very old school.
She's 19.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So and then obviously teenager still. She signed from us from Japan, then went on loan in Sweden, and then was recalled because of her shoulder injury. So you think you've gone from Japan to Sweden to England, all at the space, sort of 19 years old, which I think is really impressive. I think that'd be my worst nightmare.
So she'll have a boarding family. That's very old school with youth players, isn't it?
But I think she's in good hands when it comes to producing young talent. Lauren Jones and Aggie Beaver Jones, two examples of that. Now, I did do a play of the match poll, so I sort of forgot. And Chelsea didn't do one either, annoyingly. So I would have just nicked theirs, but they didn't do one. So make of that what you will. I probably would have given it to Sherpa Nuskin, because I did like her performance at right back. Again, these players don't get nothing for that, so I don't think they care. So I won't even bother asking Dane and Jane for their player of the match. And obviously the draw today, Jane, City away in the semi-final. Just because Emma's leaving, I think they give her one last City away semi-final, just in case.
I wasn't even surprised. I think Kerry texted on our group chat about 5 o'clock. She's like, draws at 6:30, it'll be City away. And we was like, yep, of course it is. I'm waiting for the FA Cup draw as we get through. It'll be City away again in the semi-finals of that. But I'm confident that they're not going to stop us. Obviously, we've got on next week as well. But I think our revenge is on against C now. There's no more losing against them.
Yeah, I suppose if we win that day, it'll be our fifth final in 5 years. Obviously, lost the last two to City and Arsenal. So we do owe revenge to two teams left in this competition. But City away, probably the worst draw.
We had a stinker of a performance, didn't we? Last time we were there, a lot of unfit players. It really showed. Man City really, really took advantage. I'm with Jane. I think we've moved on as a team and as a squad so much in that little time. And I'm not usually comfortable. There's an unease about me when we go to Man City and Arsenal. It's games I just really don't enjoy. Quite agitating until it's over. But for some reason, I agree with Jane. I think that this time I feel a hell of a lot more confident playing both. If we were playing both like in successive weeks or in finals or whatever, for some reason, I think this team is just, it's a shame what I've said a million times already in this show, but it feels like the team and the squad have all moved up a few levels, and I've been really impressed with how this squad looks. Yeah, key positions, you know, you made a point earlier, A and B teams to an extent. We've got so much selections for all positions. So I'm very confident for City away, and I believe, yeah, it will be a victory to remember.
Well, I do hope you're right. That game played on either the 6th or the 7th of March. So it'll be our first. It'll be our second game back after the international break.
The Thursday, because the City men are playing Champions League at home on the Wednesday.
Well, that's good then.
So they would be very stupid to then schedule it the same night, seeing as they're next door to each other.
Yeah, the Wednesday's the wife's birthday, so not that we do anything, but I'll get to watch it at least. Now, we're going to go for a break now. Then when we come back, we're going to talk about that Crystal Palace game. Before we do that, a reminder that Issue 9 of Kings Meadow Chronicle it's still available to buy online, and it will be in person at that Man City game next Friday. Not available this Sunday, I'm afraid. So head to kingsmeadowchronicle.bigcartel.com to pick up your copy. I will reduce the price for the weekend. So you do pay the £2 you would pay in person overall, rather than the £2 plus the postage. So look out for that and all the links across Twitter and Facebook and Instagram if I'll do that. So we'll be right back after this break.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK! In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Welcome back to part two of Went to Mo Kings Meadow, episode 120. Now it's time to look ahead to the FA Cup fifth round clash with Crystal Palace this Sunday at Kings Meadow with a 2 o'clock kickoff. Jane, I suppose, again, one of those games, a potential for a banana skin. Palace just behind Sunderland in the Championship, a point behind, high-flying. Expecting just another professional performance from Chelsea. They know what they got to do and they're going to go and do it.
I think Palace would scare me more than Sunderland. I went to watch them. When did I go and see them? Before our season started, they played Durham. And I sort of expected a big game out of it. Palace went and won 9-1, I think it was. So I think I'm not scared to play Palace, but I feel like it'll be harder than Sunderland.
Yeah, I suppose with it being the weekend as well, there's more opportunity for their fans to travel.
And Palace only play in Sutton, so it's just round the corner, really.
Yeah, although to be fair, Sunderland brought more supporters than West Ham did. I noticed on the stream. That's a fair play to those supporters. But yeah, I don't know if our loan players can play. It depends what the deal is, I suppose. But yeah, Dane, I think Crystal Palace need our respect.
So do they play at Sutton's grounds? What, on 3G?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this would be...
No, it's not. Sutton's not 3G.
Not, they're in the league now, so it's grass.
Because that's why they had to leave Bromley, because Bromley was 3G.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's we definitely have to show them respect. You wonder how many changes will be made because we're playing Man City on the Friday, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, on a Friday, so it's not midweek game. So I doubt that Emma would go with the same sort of team that we played against Sunderland. But maybe you can understand why she didn't. Maybe she got to a point in the game where she thought, okay, I'm not going to make no changes. The changes will be for the next game against Crystal Palace. And then you can filter through those subs, can't you, with Man City in mind, if and when you're in a good position. But yeah, you know, with a manager like Emma Hayes and the coaching staff, they won't be taking this game lightly.
Yeah, having said that, Jane, you know, if you look at the unused subs from that Sunderland game, you know, Hampton, Carter, James, Wrighton, Lawrence, Johannesson, Cameron, Charles, Cuthbert, Ramirez. If you could keep them all fresh for Friday and get through the FA Cup without them, I think you would take that option. So do you think there's a chance that she sticks with, if not the same 11, sort of at least 10 of them for the Crystal Palace game?
Yeah, I'm confident with the team we played Wednesday for Sunday again. I think Natalie, the player that we'd got from Everton, I think she wasn't available for the Courtney Cup game due to playing with Everton in the group stages, I think, because I know she wasn't on the bench. So I think maybe throw her into the mix now. But I feel like we can rest our sort of key players till we play Man City next week.
Yeah, the FA Cup obviously didn't start till January. I think we'd signed her by then.
Yeah, so she would be okay for FA Cup, but I think Courtney Cup, that's why she was sort of rested and off the team sheet.
Yeah, I think if there is a change, then I think it might be Ramirez in for official to try and maybe get Ramirez off the mark, get that first goal. I think at the moment it's not that important. She's not scoring because she's playing, you know, well, link-up play, joining up the attack pretty well. But the longer strikers go without getting that first goal, the more it becomes sort of, you know, that noose around their neck, so to speak. And it could start to weigh on her a bit. Do you think there's a chance, given that Fischl didn't score, that she could be out and Ramirez in to start this one at least?
Well, they both start. I think, as I said, I think there'll be a mixture of the team that Emma might have in mind for Man City and the team that played against Sunderland. But yeah, I would be going with Ramirez. You know, I expect more from Mia. As I said, I know we can't talk about other players like being eased and bedded in and not consider her as well. She's also very young, a young footballer who has also come from a different culture, you know, played a lot of her football in Mexico, and there's the talent there. You know, she scored a really good goal a few weeks back, and you know, her, as you say, her assist was good. She set up one for Fran, and Fran on the outside of her foot just put it over. But she's impressed me more with her all round play before once Sam Kerr got back into the team and Mia was more on the bench. You just saw the heavy touches when she came on, not a lot of confidence, almost like kicking the ball against the brick wall. You did not know where it was going to bounce off her. But I agree with Jane with Bjorn. I've been impressed with her from a distance. She almost looks like Leah Williamson, I think. And it's not just for the fact that they've got long, fair hair in a ponytail. I think, you know, the mannerisms and how she plays as a defender. So I'd like to see her in there at centre back as well. And you're right, I would play Ramirez because, you know, with a forward, yeah, their end game is scoring goals. You know, they might admit it. It's more about the team winning and all that. But every striker I ever knew who was half decent, they were as selfish and arrogant as anything. And they'd be all about scoring goals, which would be their bread and butter.
Yeah, I think I'm coming around more to the idea of having sort of a mix and match team where the experience is there, the first team players, then get them off, make subs in the game once it's all sort of done and dusted, and we put Crystal Palace to the sword, so to speak. I haven't actually picked a team, so I'm going to try and do it now while I look at Sunderland's team. Although Hampton is number one, I think Muzovic still stays in goal.
Now, what don't they, Hampton? With
I'd
goalies
play Hampton.
to tick them over. Don't leave a goalie out for two games and then play in a big game away to City on the Friday, at home to City on Friday, I don't think.
She's done it before. I think she was
Yes,
captain.
she has.
Mielder moving over to right back. Buchanan playing with Bjorn. Perisay staying at left back. Nusken moving into midfield with Ingle. And then I think Rissing Tanrid starts on the right. I think she would stick with Fran Kirby in the middle. And then Beaver Jones on the left. And then Ramirez up front, although I kind of want to put Wrighton in the team. But I think she'll pick Beaver Jones instead. I don't know. Dane, what's your thoughts?
I would have, yeah, I like for, I would have Hannah Hampton in goal. Yeah, I agree with the defence. I'd have Cuthbert in for Ingle, with the option of them bringing Ingle on if we're in a good position. I'm happy with the forward. I think I'd have Lauren in there as well, with the option of bringing her off as well as on the hour, based on if we're in a good position.
Who fought though?
So I'd like to see Beaver Jones play again, and I'd have Lauren and Wrighton.
Nice.
Wright and Lauren and yeah.
Yeah, and then Ramirez up front.
Yes.
Jane, what about you?
I think I'd start Hannah in goal, and I don't know if Kadisha, Ashley, and Big Fish are actually here this weekend because it's the Gold Cup coming up, and I don't know when it starts.
I thought it was after Man
And
City.
oh, I know it was sometime
Well, they've just done
this.
the squads.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, maybe start her then. I know it was coming up, but didn't know when. So yeah, I think the only one I'd change is put Hannah in goal.
Yeah, although apparently Ramirez has not been picked by Colombia.
Yes, correct.
Why to allow her to adapt over here?
Don't know.
Big tournament then for them, not to include her.
Yeah. Good for us anyway. I suppose we'll forget all those selections anyway by the time we record the review of this Crystal Palace game next Tuesday. So it matters none what we say. Likewise for predictions, but we're going to do them anyway. Jane, what are you going for on Play Predictor?
I'm going to say 4-0 at the minute, but I'll probably change it. I'll probably change it Sunday morning when I actually submit my answers.
Always forget. So I try and do it. I think I've done it twice.
I try every week so hard to put my full effort in to get a good score. The last couple of weeks, I've finished like third or fourth, but I'm still bottom.
Yeah, I reckon you could join your league now and then try and overtake you by now the end of the season.
Yeah.
I think you probably could. My worst score was 1 point.
This is like
Didn't even know I
almost
could
got
get that
shot
low.
the target. At least
I
try and get
literally got
minus points. I'll
one
give up on
point.
some predictions, that's for sure.
Yeah,
Minus points. So Jane said 4-0. Dane?
I did have 4-0 in my head as you were saying it, but it seems like the score I always think in my head, because you never actually come to me first. That's your little thing, your little joke. And it always feels like the guest, in this case, Jane, always nicks it. Not that she knew that I was thinking 4-0. So I'm going to go as a double with Sunderland and say 5-0.
To be fair to me, I normally come to you last, but since it's the first show back,
you come to me second.
I was being friendly. Next time you will be last. I do like to pick your score. I don't know. I'm going to go 6-1. I think Crystal Palace might score one goal. Especially because I don't think Hampton's going to start. And they are a pretty good team. Let us know your predictions on Twitter or Instagram or post. How we want to do it, let us know. And we will forget them, as always, because we don't do nothing with our predictions. We just like to guess and wind Dane up, I suppose. Sadly, that is all we've got time for this week. A big thank you to Jane and Dave for joining us back again. And again, a big shout out to Ethan on his full recovery. I think the car's in a worse shape than he was. I think they had to write that one off. But he's doing well, which is great. And I hope to see him soon at a match. Because one day he's going to start the chant for the South Stand to give us a song. I know that's his favourite. But yeah, Jane, good to see you.
Yeah, it was good to be back. Don't know when I'll be back next, but yeah, it was good to be back.
Yeah, Jane works late as well, so the timing's no good for her at Iowa. So a double whammy for her. But always, when you're available, you'll always be on the show, Jane. Don't worry about that. Dane, good to see you, mate.
Yeah, it got to a stage where it was just too easy just to go, oh, you know, you got just used to not doing it anymore. So it was nice to come back, and I think it flowed quite nicely. And I suppose it'd be nice to get back into it, you know, so I've made myself available for the next two shows. And yeah, because we, you know, it was always more difficult for Jane, wasn't it? But yeah, it'd be nice to get back into it. Really enjoyed it. Nice seeing you two, although I see one of you a lot more than the other. And yeah, it's nice. And it'll be nice to obviously experience this sort of new wave of went to May Kings Meadow with the new team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you've never been away, to be fair. It felt like it. Just felt normal, which is great.
I don't think I blabbled as much as I usually do, which must be a good thing.
Yeah, I suppose it's those doctors, you know, straight to the point.
I've learned something from them.
Yeah, learned something at least. As Dane said, we will be back on Tuesday to review this Palace game. We'll be joined by somebody, hopefully, who's available when I look through at the messages. And then after that, obviously, the following Tuesday for City as well, this coming Friday. Again, make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Mo Kings Meadow, Instagram at Went to Mo Kings Meadow. I'm at Dean Mears, Jane is at Jane Chapel X, and Dane is at DWit9. The link for all of those will be in the description box. And if you love what we do and you want to help support the show, continue to make content, then why not consider becoming a Patreon member? You get early ad-free access to all the shows. You get a nice little sticker after 3 months, and you basically help us run the show and cover the cost of Mixlr, the editing software, Zoom, and all that jazz. It's expensive. And, of course, future ballers as well, which we do in the summer, giving those young girls their football boots for the season, which we all love at the time. So, yeah, please consider that. The link for that is patreon.com/WentToMoKingsMeadow. Thank you for listening. And from Kings Meadow to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.